It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Acts. We're going to begin reading with the second chapter today, and so please that you'd open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2 and able to follow along with us, and I hope that you have that opportunity. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. And if you would like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you'd like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one will work just fine, and I hope that you would enjoy it, and if you feel so led to contact us, that would be just wonderful. Acts chapter 2. Hope that was enough time now for you. Open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Acts chapter 2, we're going to begin reading with verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat up on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? How hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we are born? And so I believe we'll end with the reading there with that eighth verse and begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we can come today and just enjoy this time together. It is such a joy to study your precious word, be led by your Spirit through your word, and we're really going to cover that today. Just guide and lead us now, Father. Show us instantly and completely how to come to know you as our Savior, how to walk with you each and every day. What a joy it is. So, Father, please do not allow anyone that's listening today, don't let them miss this free gift of salvation that you hand to each and every one that will just respond to you. That response, Father, we know is acknowledging that we're lost. And once we acknowledge we're lost, why then the invitation to salvation comes. Thank you, Father, for your precious, precious word. Now, touch all of our hearts with your precious word and lead us today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we begin this study today, we find ourselves here in this second chapter. And it's a wonderful chapter, and we have just finished the little talk or little study concerning the feasts. And I want you to understand that, because it is literally a calendar of events for us. It was a calendar of events for the Jews. And it's also a calendar of events for us. Not that we follow these feasts, but it lets us know what's coming next. And just in review very quickly, we do have the Passover and the Unleavened Bread, which those two are just really side by side. They're together. And again, the Unleavened Bread, the leaven, always stands for sin in the Scripture. And so they are to clean their houses out of leaven. No leaven in the house whatsoever, because we're to face our sin. That's what it's all about. And once you have faced your sin and realize that you're a sinner. You've said, please forgive me of my sin. Next comes Calvary. Next comes the cross of the Lord Jesus, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he has died on the cross to take our sin away. But first we have to face our sin. So first comes the unleavened bread, then comes Passover, and that is the Calvary, the death, burial, and of our Lord and Savior. And then we come to the next feast that's in line, and that's the Feast of First Fruits. That is a picture of the resurrection. They were to bring the very first harvest, the first part of the harvest, and they would come in, and it was to be waved, and there were certain directions that they would do, but that is the Feast of the First Fruits. Well, that pictures or gives us a beautiful example of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So here we have the Passover and unleavened bread together, which in order to be saved, you have to confess your sin and realize that you're a sinner. Then comes Calvary, and the joy of the completion of Calvary, of course, is 3 days and three nights later, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a wonderful picture of the first fruits. The next event on God's calendar and the next feast is the Feast of the Passover. I'm sorry, the Feast of Pentecost. We've had Passover, we had unleavened bread, we had first fruits, and now Pentecost. And as we look at Pentecost, that's also a Feast of Weeks. And this is something that takes place towards the end of the harvest. And so that is, like I said, the 7 weeks and one day, so 50 days, and Pentecost comes. And with our calendar, we can see, all right, Calvary's taken place, the resurrection has taken place, and now is the birth of the church. And that's where we're at right here in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, Pentecost. They were at Pentecost. They were at this feast at the time. And so that is the birth of the church, the forming of the church, and the coming of the Holy Spirit. Prior to this time, the Holy Spirit did not indwell the believers. It would just come and empower them. We have, as a being in the church age, the opportunity of knowing the Holy Spirit to be within our hearts once we accept the Lord Jesus. And so we see that. Now, what is the next event for us then? Because we're caught up here. Because we know that we're in the church age right now. Pentecost has taken place. The next feast on God's calendar is Feast of Trumpets. Now, we know that the trump is going to sound and going to call every believer home. And that will be the church, not the physical church, but the spiritual church. All those that have recognized they're a sinner and come by faith to Jesus. That is who's going to come and be raptured, taken away, taken out of here. And so when we see that and we look at this opportunity there, it is also the calling of Israel. Already they are already coming into the land of Jerusalem and in that area. There's great numbers increasing there, even though we've got quite a volatile time right now. They still are moving and will continue to. And don't think for any time, don't think for a split second that the enemy is going to destroy Israel, because God won't let him. God won't let them. I made the statement the other day, do you want to make a decision for the Lord Jesus and serve him? And the conversation was concerning abortion or what we call murder. Do you want to be on God's side or you want to be on the devil's side? The devil's side is the one that is willing to kill babies. And the unborn has no voice at all. Well, it's kind of the same thing when it comes here. Do you want to be on the Lord's side or do you want to be on the devil's side? Well, when it comes to the Feast of Trumpets, that trump's going to sound and we're leaving. All those that are lost are going to stay. And so I hope that you are on God's side. I hope that you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, the next that's coming is the Day of Atonement. Now, when we have the Day of Atonement, we're looking at the opportunity, the time of the tribulation, and the second coming of the Lord Jesus. And what a beautiful picture the Day of Atonement is. If you've never studied it, it's beautiful. And then the last is the Tabernacles, which is the millennial reign of Christ. So we have the calendar of events. We know what's coming next. The Feast of Trumpets is coming next. And again, we don't celebrate those festivals, those feasts, but it is a calendar of event for us to see. And so, again, we have found ourselves to the time of Pentecost. And if you'll read it once again with me in chapter 2, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were all there for one purpose. They were told to go and to wait. Now, in this period of time, from the ascension, from the resurrection to the ascension, when Jesus went home and is seated at the right hand of his Father, 40 days, Scripture tells us that. So what do we have left before Pentecost? Because from the Feast of First Fruits to Pentecost is 50 days. They are told to wait. Wait. And so when they went and they waited, of course, the only thing that they were doing during that time was electing another apostle, which they shouldn't have been doing, but that's what they were up to anyway. And so they all continued in one accord in prayer and supplication. The 14th verse tells us, and then we come here and we find once again in verse 1 of chapter 2 that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They had been there for 10 days, and they were waiting for God's next calendar of events. They were waiting for Pentecost. Pentecost came. Now, it wasn't the Pentecost they were looking for, because when that celebration took place, something great happened, and that is the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now, I've got several verses of Scripture here that I think we'd like to look at, or I would love to look at, and hope that you enjoy them. And so let's just begin here. We're going to go back to Matthew chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 11. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. I indeed baptize, this is John the Baptist, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. Repentance always has been a part of salvation. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. All right, we have the promise that's coming here. And as we read earlier there, look at verse 3 of Acts 2, verse 3, chapter 2, verse 3. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each one of them. I'm going to baptize you with fire. I'm going to indwell you with the Holy Spirit. And that's what took place here in Acts. Now let's go to Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Once again, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Let's go to John chapter 7. Just gets better. John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. In other words, he hadn't go home yet. Remember, he said, unless I leave, I won't send the Comforter. I've got to go home, and then I'll send the Comforter. And that's exactly what these verses in John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39 is telling us. Now let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 10, Hebrews 10, 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Jesus died on the cross. He saved us, and we enjoy the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. A little further, we'll go backwards here to 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 12 and 13. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. And this is not talking about a physical baptism. This is being immersed by the Holy Spirit, and that's what happens the day that you trust in the Lord Jesus. The Spirit are all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, we have been all made to drink into one Spirit. That's a wonderful verse of Scripture. Romans, Acts, Romans chapter 8. It's all excellent verses of Scripture. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, we're coming to a very critical part here, something that you have got to understand. Folks and you may be one of them, that say, you know, I've always believed. There is a day, as an adult, that the Holy Spirit comes to live within your heart. But that does not take place unless you invite him in. And that does not take place unless the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit that wants to come in and dwell in your heart forever, that same Spirit is on the outside showing you who you are. That you're lost, you're a sinner, and you need the Lord Jesus. The Spirit does that. And the minute, the second that you say, yes, I am a sinner, and yes, I need Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to live within your heart. Now, that is exactly what we're talking about and looking at here in this verse of Scripture. And again, I'm going to read verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. And that's the only way. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you have not trusted in Jesus, no matter how much you said, I've always believed, you don't know him. You do not know God the Father. Because the only way you can know God the Father is through the Son. The only way you can know the Son is by the Spirit. coming by faith and be born again. Verses 14 through 16. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not yet received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That is something that you will know. This day of Pentecost that we're looking at here, the day the Holy Spirit's come, was a great, great day upon this earth. And we live it. It's an opportunity for us. So please, don't miss it. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 30. It says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now to grieve the Spirit is to do things against the Word of God. To do things against God's will, it grieves the Spirit. But what that comes to then is that you lose fellowship with God the Father and God the Son. It's just like any relationship with a friend or a spouse. When there's friction between you, you have no fellowship. You have no joy. You have no peace. You're still friends, or you're still married, just like it is here. You're sealed. It says sealed. Now, when we read that, it says sealed unto the day of redemption. So don't think that you're going to ever lose your salvation, but you may have a problem with fellowship. And the only way to get back there is to ask for forgiveness. Ask Him to forgive you. He will. Get back into fellowship with Him. John chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. What did I just tell you a little bit ago? For if I go not away, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And we have the joy of having the Holy Spirit. What a joy. Back to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound of from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. The day that you trust in Jesus is the day that the Holy Spirit comes to live within your heart. Now, it is wrong to beg God for the gift of the Holy Spirit, because you receive the Holy Spirit the day you confess your sin and accept Jesus. That gift of the Holy Spirit is yours, and you will be indwelt by the Spirit of God. But don't be asking God for, fill me with your Spirit. You have all the Spirit. The day you trust in Jesus, you possess the person of the Holy Spirit. You don't just get part of Him and then when you get a little more and a little more. No, you receive the person of the Holy Spirit. You need to understand that. So don't be asking now, how do we become more controlled by the Spirit, by that Holy Spirit, by that person that indwells us? Is by surrendering to Him. But you have Him completely. He has already given the Spirit the day that you trust in Jesus. And the book of Acts is not a book of doctrine concerning the Holy Spirit, nor does it contain the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. It is not a book of the doctrine concerning the Holy Spirit, nor does it contain doctrine of the Holy Spirit. What it does have, what it does show, is the continued work and teaching of the living Christ. That's the sole purpose of the Holy Spirit, is to show us the living Christ. I'm going to send the Comforter. I'm going to send the one that can come and teach you and show you. What it does show is the continual work and teaching of the living Christ by the Holy Spirit through the body of Christ, the church of the living God. What a joy. Through the church of the living God. I am a member of the body of the living church. Now, I'm a member of the body of the local church, which is proper. That's the way we should, because we come together to grow together, to grow closer and closer to the Lord Jesus. You see, the Spirit of God does nothing more, and I don't want to belittle the Spirit of God, the power of the Spirit of God, because His sole purpose is to convict us of sin and show us we're a sinner, and then introduces us to the Lord Jesus. And then once we say yes to the Lord Jesus, then the purpose of the Spirit from that day on is to teach us about Jesus. That's what he doesn't glorify in His own being. His purpose is to show us the Lord Jesus Christ. The purpose of the Lord Jesus is to show us God the Father, His Father, Jehovah God. It's very simple. Don't make it complicated, and don't think I didn't get all the Spirit. You can't divide a person. And the Holy Spirit is a person, the third person of the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You don't get just part of it. You get the person of the Holy Spirit the day you say yes to Jesus. And then His purpose not only was to convict you of sin, show you're a sinner, and bring you to salvation, but then it just begins. Because the Holy Spirit can bring us so close to the Lord Jesus that we have the love and the joy each and every day, walking, serving. The fruit that is to come, the fruit of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. How great is that? That is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Everybody wants to have other things. They may want to have the healing or the speaking in tongues and all these things. No, the fruit, what we're to be producing and affecting other people's lives, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. It all begins with the love. It all begins with the agape love that our Lord gives us as we surrender to Him. But don't misunderstand. We have the Holy Spirit, His fullness, because He is a person. Now, we're going to begin with that second verse and enjoy that next time we get the chance to come together. My dear friend, it's so important that you know Jesus, that you walk with Jesus, that you serve Him. But what are you going to do? about Jesus.